Father, thank you that your love never fails, that you make all things work together for our good. Thank you for remarkable promises. And would you so work in us in the time we have together that our faith in your promises would be stronger when we leave than when we arrive. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, Sir Maribald. It is great to see you, and thank you for coming. And thank you, Chris and Hannah. Hannah coming in your lunch break to play the cajon. It's really great to have you. It's really marvelous. May I read you a few verses from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11. No. That's the wrong one. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. We're 1 week behind the sermons we're doing in Loughborough because we started with a different way. So I sometimes find it, what have I put up? No, I've not put anything up. So that's very exciting, isn't it? It's on page 468. Oh, no, it isn't. After all that I said about being to the pantomime last week, you'll be able to shout out, oh, yes, it is. Let me just start again, shall I, so that you can go away thinking that I'm vaguely sorted out. Those of you who've been here for a long time know that's not true, of course. I'm starting on page 467, page 467, Nehemiah chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. Let me read Nehemiah chapter 2 and the first six verses. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart." I was very much afraid. But as I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" And I prayed to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take? And when will you be back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I met a godson, one of my many godsons, on Saturday night, and we went to Nando's. It was not a place I'd been before, but he was desperately committed to Nando's, and as he works in IT in Kettering, I thought, if Nando's is what you want, Nando's is what you're going to have. I found a little Italian restaurant around Victoria Station, said we could go there and pretend we're in Venice. He obviously thought pretending that he was in Venice in an Italian restaurant near Victoria Station was that just that bit more of imagination than he could actually get at that particular time. And I thought I'd do what he asked. He'd already emailed me and said, "Please don't wear anything that could be embarrassing. Just look like a normal person." So I knew that I had not to turn up in either a suit or a clerical collar, that I had to turn up in what was, I think, probably unsmart casual, which was quite easy. I had lots of unsmart things, and I hope that was all right. Anyway, he looked me up and down when I arrived and said, "Nice to see you, that'll do. Just don't let your, go get your mobile out," because my mobile is just a small machine that gets texts and telephone calls. And the last time he was there, he said, "That is such an embarrassing thing. If you left it on the table where we left the restaurant, no one would take it." Just be absolutely certain. No one normal would be seen dead with a mobile like that. So, you know, I knew I was on probation, really. Anyway, we went into Nando's, me trusting him, and it was desperate, really. I just, you know, Now I'd be all right, but you know, the menu is difficult. Which sauce did you have? I thought you couldn't get alcohol at first, but I looked at the menu. My concern was for him, obviously, that he could have a glass of wine. It was awful. I didn't know what to do, and there was a queue forming up behind me. He just said, trust me, I'll do it. Don't say anything. So I thought, right, I won't say anything. He sorted it out. I had to pay, of course, but he sorted it out. And we sat down. He said, look, he said, when we're in somewhere that's like, you know, trendy, just don't say a word. Let me make the decisions. Just do what I ask. And there's something about that that Nehemiah was learning in this particular moment in his life that we just read about. And we're being reminded, actually, that it's really easy to be totally confident that we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ when we're here in church. If he asks you anything while we're here, we say, yes, we believe in you, it's going to be perfectly all right. It's not always quite so easy to be confident that we can trust him when we go back to work, though. Here we can feel utterly certain that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess him Lord. However, later this afternoon, or sometime tomorrow morning, it can feel slightly different. Other people's priorities and expectations suddenly appear more important. Others suddenly seem to be the people we need to keep on side at all costs, as we find ourselves anxious about their opinions, their reactions, and their possible decisions. Subtly, our faith becomes less in situations like that. And if you'd met Nehemiah on the day we just read about, he would have understood exactly how we can sometimes feel. He too, like you, is a man who took his faith in God seriously. He worshipped the Lord whom he knew was the ultimate authority. However, he found that day in the presence of King Artaxerxes that it didn't always feel like that. We read in verse 2, the king asked you, why does your faith look so sad? And Nehemiah commented, I was very much afraid. The original is rather more earthy. It was, I was seized by panic. Seized by panic. Put on the spot like this. Of course, he prepared for this moment. Prayed hard for just over 3 months about what he was going to say when the moment came. He was clear about what God wanted him to do. And when the moment arrived, despite all the pressure and all the panic, he didn't duck the opportunity. God gave him the wisdom in what he said to Artaxerxes. We read in verse 3, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Bit crawly, but never mind. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? He knew how to touch a chord. Burial sites were sacred for the Persians, of whom Artaxerxes was king. So he knew he was on a winner like that. And wisely also, he didn't mention the city in Judah that he was talking about was Jerusalem, because it was Artaxerxes that had knocked down its walls and burnt its gates because they'd been a bit rebellious only a few years earlier. He was canny in how he dealt with Artaxerxes. He listened to God about what he should say when the pressure was on. And remarkably, by the end of the conversation, all that Nehemiah had hoped for had been agreed and signed off. He'd prayed when things didn't look very promising at all. And it was clear that God had answered his prayer. In verse 8, which I didn't read, we see at the end of verse 8, and because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. Nehemiah discovered that day the truth that Christians down the centuries have learned, what you and I have learned at different times, that we can trust God. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to renew that trust, that same confidence in you and me today. Of course, we are all apprehensive at times. But actually, in situations, in contexts where God wasn't supposed to feature, in Artaxerxes' palace, God answered prayer. It was then that Nehemiah found him to be the one who can make a difference anywhere. Not just here, but later this afternoon. And it'll be the same for us, whether in work or at church, whether with Christians or not. As you think of the next 36 hours, how confident are you that Jesus Christ is Lord of every situation in which you'll find yourself? And where do you and I particularly need God's help at the moment? What are the problems or the issues or the pressure points? Where do you need God's help?